Hey, welcome, and thank you for watching another edition as we've been talking about godliness, goal of disciple. In fact, we really want every person who says yes to Jesus to first of all, recognize that being a disciple isn't an option. Because the objective of a disciple is to be like his master. And so every person that becomes a follower of Jesus ultimately needs to have the desire to want to be like Jesus. And, you know, we live in this in a world where there are 8 billion people that are milling about. And you may be in an area where, you know, they're milling about shoulder to shoulder, or you're living in an area in the world where they're milling about an acre away. But regardless, they're just kind of doing life. And it used to be that that the parts of the world were much more segmented. What happened in China stayed in China. What happened in England stayed in England. And then, you know, with the onslaught of technology, and you'll have to pre-forgive me on this next statement, it used to be how you got information out there. There was telegraph and telephone and telewoman. And that's how you got the information out there. Well, now with social media and with the airwaves, all the different ways, it doesn't matter if a person is raised in Africa or in India, their opinion can be known worldwide. We live in a world where opinions are thrown constantly about every little thing that takes place. A video gets taken by somebody who's watching police arrest somebody. And so then there are the opinions on what the police should have done, what the criminals should have done, what the police shouldn't do, what the criminals shouldn't do. We live in a world where everybody has us. And of course, now it used to be where, you know, the question was, well, what is truth? And there were, you know, some philosophers that would argue about key figures knowing what truth is, or, you know, Hinduism, who believes that there's the aura, the karma is this ultimate truth that's out there. Now your opinion is truth. Mm-hmm. And it goes from a select few to now almost 8 billion people who have a right to their own truth. Well, that makes a really confusing, a difficult world to live in. And one of the great things about Jesus Christ is he is truth. And because he's truth, we don't have to get caught up in everything else. There actually is an ultimate truth. And a goal of a disciple is ultimately to grow to the place where we're thinking like Jesus, where Jesus, his thoughts were informed from absolute truth. And so what starts in the head ultimately ends in the eyes and the feet by what we do. So I think that as a disciple, we need to grow in this place of ultimate truth.
We do. And again, to me, that's a huge deal. When we take on this quest as godly people who seek godliness, our goal as disciples is that we want to think like Jesus. We think that generates from us. You know, that's informed from it arises from within. What do you think? What's your opinion? In fact, we've even put that into statements of the faith. You know, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, that's really not actually true. If God said it, it's because it's true. Mm-hmm. And that pretty much settles it. The fact that God said it, the fact that the eternal, ultimate source of this truth speaks, well, that makes all the difference in the world. And so to think like Jesus is really more, it's more than just thinking. It's not generating it on your own. It's a process where you are lifted above the world of opinion. You're lifted above, what do you think about that? How do you feel? You know, what's your current truth? I mean, that's the world in which we live. Jesus' world was a world of absolute truth, and his way of saying it obviously was explaining how he came to it. The Father speaks and the Son does. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a source of truth. And so when he's asked what's truth, he is the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, what you want to see the Father, you see me. Because this is the truth. The Father is truth. The Son is truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And so it's completely different. We're now able to be brought into this whole different realm, where it's not about just what do you think, I want to think like Jesus.
Yeah.
I want to think like Jesus. And to think like Jesus, we've got to go through a little bit of a discovering process.
Yeah, you know? There are a lot of people that when they are beginning to explore what it means to follow Christ. And I think there's certainly a health in exploring what it means to follow Christ, because when you discover it, it is your faith. It's not someone else's faith. The Word of God, the Bible, is an important component in that, because that's what we've been given for an understanding of the God who is truth. And so I've been asked a number of times, how do we know that the Bible is true? And I just, before we get into this wholeheartedly in these different areas, I think it's at least important, a place to explore. There's no other book throughout all of history like the Bible, that written by so many different authors over thousands of years period of time, that first of all, which is kind of the first litmus test to it being truth, the Bible from the beginning, Genesis, to the end in Revelation, which has not yet happened yet, doesn't disagree with itself. There's this continuity in Scripture that goes all the way through the Bible. But not only that, that's kind of that first internal evidence. But the other internal evidence are the prophecies that were given, the prophecies that have come to place, the mathematical probability of one prophetic utterance taking place is astronomical. And yet it's proven time and time again that Scripture already has a number of them, from the time that Jesus came onto the scene, the time that Jesus was killed, to Israel being a nation, not being a nation, being a nation again. The probability of that is it's inconceivable. And so there's all these internal truths of the Bible. But the other beautiful thing is the external truths of the Bible, is that when you read about, for example, you read about the time when there was great famine in the land and Joseph had risen to the top of to be number two in all of Egypt, and all of the world was coming to Egypt for food. The external evidence is there was a Yemenese queen in archaeology that they uncovered her tomb. And basically above her tomb, she didn't get food. And she was in the tomb because Egypt didn't supply her. And so it just shows that it's not just in the book, but the book's been lived out.
Yes.
And there's this external reality. So understanding that the Bible is a source that has been tested throughout time is critical as we move through here. But we don't want you to believe that truth is just a book.
That's a fact.
We don't want that.
No, because truth is a someone.
Right.
Yeah,
And that's really ultimately what we're exploring.
Absolutely.
And so let's look at this, because in John chapter 8, Jesus starts off, he says these words. He says, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisee said to him, "You're bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going."
It's a powerful, that comes in the middle of this entire set of passages. There are numerous passages where as you get to the end of these exchanges, this informational exchange back and forth, questions being asked, and Jesus giving these answers, this truth that he speaks of. He's in the middle of speaking about a truth that sets people free, a truth that is incontrovertible, a truth that is, it's a never-changing thing. It's an eternal thing. It's not, well, your opinion, what do you think about all this? He's not. He's bearing witness to the truth because he knows the truth. He is the truth. And he says this truth is the truth that will actually set you free. He actually goes so far as to say, if you guys knew this truth, then you would be changed by it. But as it is, you're of your father, the devil, who's a liar and has been lying from the beginning. And of course, these are the passages that end up with Jesus, you know, where he's escaping because they're picking up stones. This is not altar call leading kind of language. This doesn't lead these people to the place where it's, oh, we're going to be transformed by this amazing revelation of the truth. These are people who, just like the Scripture says, you mentioned it, the powerful truths and the amazing just the glory of the revelation that is involved and the care of God over the scripture that we've been given. This is the word that comes to pass. This is the truth that works itself out inside of our lives. And it's a powerful thing. It's just a powerful thing. But this truth has a source. This truth has a place behind it. And so the source of this truth, and we're going to talk actually about the source, the force of it, how it works inside of our lives, and the course of it. The source of it, though, answers this question: where do you find this kind of truth? Where do you get this kind of truth? Well, we get it from God. God, the Father, is the Father of all truth. He's the Father of all righteousness. The Son calls himself the truth. I'm the truth. I know my Father. I know where I came from. I know who I am. I know whose I am. And so that's the truth. And it doesn't matter whether you believe it or don't believe it. If, in fact, it says it this way, Paul writes about it. If some don't believe, that's not going to change the truth. Even if you don't believe, the truth is still the truth. It's going to be an interesting day, ultimately, in the day of judgment and the day of this final revelation, when everything that the scripture says comes to pass, and everybody who believed otherwise is going to face the truth. Mm-hmm. And so the Father is the source of truth. Christ himself is the truth. He says he is. And then when he sends the Holy Spirit to us, when he imparts the Spirit of life into us, he's also called the Spirit of truth. And so the source of all truth is God himself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let me tell you this about God, because I think this is incredibly important for us and will give us a sense of the fountain head of this truth, this source of all truth. God is eternal. And these aren't the only aspects of God, but God, these are the important ones for this particular message. God is eternal and God is omniscient. So God never had a beginning, will never have an end. He is always, has always been, and will always be. Okay? Now, he's not created. He is creator. And so God is eternal, but God is also omniscient. And that's a kind of omniscient. He knows everything. The science, this understanding, this knowledge. Well, follow the science. That's one of our lines these days. Well, here's the real science. Follow the omniscient one, the one who knows everything about everything. And so because God's eternal and he's omniscient, let me say it in a way that I think helps us to understand it. God sees all time, all the time, at one time. I know, that's a mouthful. So let me try it again, because I want you to catch this. God sees all time, all the time, at one time. So to him, there's not a yesterday, a tomorrow. He never says, oh, wow, there's a surprise. He's never surprised. He's never chagrined. He's never informed. He's never nervous about anything, because he sees all time, all the time, at one time. And so this is the eternal power of God. He never has to investigate to find out something. And so he doesn't investigate, he informs. So the person who finds this source of eternal information, this source of eternal truth, well, that's it, what you think doesn't really matter. It's what you believe now. Because now I know. In fact, I don't just believe, I know. I know this is the truth. Why? Because it's a truth that comes right from the heart of God. He's the source. And that is a powerful thing.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting, because the people think that because some aspects of God have not come to light, that it must not be true. Mm-hmm. But truth will vindicate itself. And I think about it a little bit like this. That, you know, gravity is gravity. You're not going to change gravity. But it's like a person who jumps off a 100-story building and they're doing backflips and they're going, wee, look at me. And how much fun is this? And see, I've overcome gravity. But there's going to be a moment.
Yes, there is.
And it's going to come to a crashing and fatal end for that person. And there are people who they don't believe the truth that Jesus is Lord of all. But there is going to be a moment that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that is who he is. Yes. And when you begin to understand that there is a source of truth, then it becomes a force because it begins to move you. It begins to change you. It begins to cause you to go and in a certain direction. It literally elevates you above all the frustrations of the world, whether they're political frustrations, economic frustrations, even your own physical body frustrations. Truth lifts you above that. If your truth has been built on what your life experiences, then the opinion of your experiences is going to form your truth, and you're going to be very frustrated. And I joke with my friends who, you know, they complain about their aches and pains, and they're saying, you know, getting old is just no fun. And I say, you're right. Now, you know, I've always heard getting old is no fun, but it doesn't last very long. So, you know, you can land anywhere you want based on what your truth is or what your opinion. But when you understand that there is a truth that will transform and move you above the opinions, there's the place where you find comfort, joy, and peace. Because ultimately what it does, it begins to eliminate the enemy's ability to dominate you, to control you. So Paul, he writes that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And then he writes in other places that we need to take captive every thought, because there are thoughts that come that are the opinions and the philosophies of this world that are counter to the truth. So there's that this ability for it to control you, so that we bring every thought into the captivity of Jesus Christ and his truth. So we say no. In fact, the book of Ephesians is written and culminates with Paul writing about that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers of the air. And he talks about putting on the whole armor of God. And because that's ultimately, it's the armor, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, you know, shodding your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace and girding it together. All of that has to do with truth. And when you look at the survey of Ephesians, the first three chapters is the truth of who God is and why we worship this one and true God. And then in chapter 4 and verse 1, he goes on to say, now therefore, knowing this, live this way. There's a truth on how we live. And then he comes to the Ephesians 6 and 9, where it turns into a warfare. So if you're having a problem with your warfare, if the force of truth seems to be being defeated, then you have to go back to the truth of the way you live. And if there's issue there, you go back to the truth of who God is, which will ultimately change the way you live and allow you to put on the truth in such a way that you walk through this life victoriously, because there is a force of truth that's going to overcome this life and is going to overcome death, because it's already overcome death and the grave. And the force of truth is going to lead you into an eternal life that's going to be spent with the truth of who truth is, and that's Jesus Christ. And so we look forward to that and long for it.
It is. It's a powerful thing. He said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Mm. And so the source of it's going to be God. He's this revelation of God to us, the realities of what God has established that are eternal. He knows them forever. They are established forever. Nothing can change them. No amount of all the, you know, what do you think about them? What does the devil say about them? What's trending on Facebook these days? None of that really matters. And quite honestly, when we talk about thinking like Jesus, it's not just thinking, it's believing mm-hmm. like Jesus. It's above just that realm of opinion to that place where I have found the source. I have come to this place of peace, because the truth of God has come to me, and by the truth, he set me free from all those lies, all that imagination, all that struggle, all the what ifs of the world, or you didn't that, or you're not that, or every kind of accusation, every kind of imagination, every thing that qualifies under the category lies. Mm-hmm. You know, lying lies and the liars who tell them. You know, there are these ideas that are being put out there. But that's the reality. Everything that is not of God in that way is a lie. Jesus was really simplistic about it when he talked in these passages that we're citing today and reading from. You know, when the devil speaks, he speaks about a lie. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. And so when you believe those lies, you are held captive to that. You're pushed about. You're shoved about with every little wind of doctrine and every cunning, crafty deceit, every new ideology that comes, every new discovery. Well, this and that. Now, did you know this? And did you hear that? And you can become so pushed about by all of those things until you come to this place of the truth being revealed to you from God himself. And then you come to this place of faith, and the force of that literally does, just as you said, it just eliminates all the power of that. It's kind of like walking into, you know, if you walk into a dark room, even if it's a friendly dark room, and that's really dark, where you can't see anything, nothing. And you don't have, you know, whatever sources of light that right there with you, you're not just going to boldly, you know, boof out across the room. Why? Because your imagination goes crazy. Well, you know, it could be this, it could be that. Somebody could be in here. Every little noise makes a difference. And you know, even if it's a friendly room, who knows who left what out? Maybe we rearranged the furniture since the last time I was here. You're because you don't know, you're trapped. But if you had a light source, and we carry our phones for these things now, it's great. We have cameras now, we have flashlights with us all the time, we have maps with us. It's a kind of a cool thing, I have to say. But we turn the light on. And when you turn the light on, every bit of the imagination loses its power. It just you don't have to fight it, you don't have to scream at it. And that's the same thing, where the weapons of the warfare that God gives to us are mighty through God to just cast down those imaginations, to pull down everything. You don't have this idea of, I got to do this amazing battle with the devil. No. You just have to ground yourself in the truth that God has. You think like Jesus. Mm-hmm. And when you think like Jesus, you understand that truth has a source. Truth has a powerful force. And then the course of truth is how it actually works itself out in our lives. It's not just why it's so important to us and where it comes from, but it's now what that makes, how does that make a difference in how we live our lives? And I think it's pretty clear. We go from confused to confident. And that's a cool place to go. The world lives in a confusion. The people of God, those who think like Jesus was confident. I know my Father. I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. You get that? I know. I wish. I know. So there's a confidence that God wants to breed in our lives by the truth. He wants to move us out of the wishy-washy world into the worship world, where, you know, I'm not cocky and arrogant about it. I am just absolutely assured that what God says is true. What God has done, he's done, and he's done it forever. And so we believe this truth because it's true. It's not true because we believe it. We believe it. And so we begin to think like Jesus. And then I think part of the really cool thing of this is that God, as the source, now has the people who think like Jesus, those who are achieving these levels of godliness, where we're more believing like Christ, we are more anchored in this truth. Well, then we become, to the people that are around us, the people we work with, we go to school with, we interact with online or however it is, we become a secondary source of that truth to their lives as well. And I think that's powerful, because people of the truth live these wonderfully freed lives. In the middle of the panic that is existent in our world today, and there's a ton of it out there, not just in the U.S., but everywhere. In the middle of the panic, there are people of peace. There are people of purpose. These are those who think like Jesus. These are the people for whom the truth of Christ has set them free. That's what we want to be. That's what we want for you to be as well.
Yeah. Father, thank you for being truth. And Lord, we want to live and grow and have an ever-expanding revelation of truth in our lives. And so, Lord, we ask that you would do that, Lord, from day to day, everywhere we go, every day, that, Lord, that truth becomes a greater reality because, Lord, you have become a greater reality in our life. And I pray that every person would hunger and desire for more of you and ultimately, Lord, receiving more of truth in their life. And so, Lord, thank you for positioning us to be able to receive to the fullest. In Jesus' name, amen.